Welcome to the Body Grievers Club. Hi, my friends. I'm Bree.
And I'm Jana.
And we want to sit in the grief and the suck of your body image with you.
But we also want to show you that even in the suck, you can still live a great life in the body that you have right now.
And that no matter how big and how difficult your body grief feels,
you are not alone.
Hi, Jana.
Hey, Bree. I noticed you've been like going out in the world. I was so proud of you. Like, didn't you even have a hat on the other day living out in the world?
I hated it.
A love hate with it, though. You don't fully hate it.
I like doing things, but I don't like the journey to doing things. I was so tired at the end of last night. I loved yesterday. I had so much fun. I went into the city. I met up with a friend of mine. We went to lunch. And then we went to this ice cream place that I've been wanting to try that is vegan and black owned called Whip, not sponsored. I met up with my brother and I picked up my favorite food in the city with him, which is Chinese food.
A lot.
I see you doing things all the time and I'm like, how the heck does she do this?
I'm like, let's go out and play. Well, but I think that that's such an interesting concept about our individuality and as it relates around body image, because body image is really our relationship with ourselves. And if we shamed you for being like, okay, I had my one day, I got to go home and recharge, that wouldn't be fair to you and the way that you operate. It's like, I should shame myself for always wanting to get out and go play and exhausting myself still, if I'm be honest. But like it refills part of my soul. If I shamed myself for that, that would be out of an integrity and alignment.
Right. My friend that I was with yesterday, one of the things that like when I went to the Taylor Swift concert, I was like, just be prepared. You're going to be really tired because I was physically drained after the concert. And I was expecting her to have the same experience. She was like, no, I was energized from the Beyonce concert. And I was like, you are definitely an introverted extrovert. And I am an extroverted introvert. I am social, but I really do feel like my energy gets zapped. And then what did you say you are?
I think I'm an extroverted ambivert middle. Like I'm not very introverted at all, right? But I definitely need time when I'm like, okay, that was enough. I need to recharge in like a different way. Like, cause definitely like socializing and being outside and doing things fills me. But then there's a point at which it starts to feel like, oh, wait, this isn't filling me anymore. Like, it's not what I need.
This is actually a great lead-in for the episode for today. So today's episode is on dating, which, ooh. Yeah. So, like, at most of the time when I say dating, I'm like,
I have a visceral response.
The biggest reason is because it requires me to leave my house up to people, specifically men. But one of the things that our guest today, Lily Womble, who's a dating coach, says is that dating can be accosting to your nervous system. If it doesn't feel good or safe, like we need to honor that experience. And the way that I will date would be different than the way that maybe you would have gone on a date back in the day, you know?
Absolutely. Well, so important when it comes to body image. It's about creating safety for ourselves in our body and in our life experience in general.
It's so true. Even if you are not dating, this episode is a great one to listen to, because especially if you have single friends, this could just help you to be able to help and guide those conversations. But if you are in the dating world, it will help you to realize like there's nothing wrong with however it is that you choose to date, even if that means taking a break, taking a solace. Lily talks about this all the time, deciding I'm going to intentionally unsubscribe from all of the apps and just give my nervous system a break to recoup. And we talk about recouping the nervous system inside of the Body Grievers Club.
Absolutely. We sure do. And giving ourselves that space to say, hey, maybe this is a little triggering. Let me pick something that isn't quite as triggering to work on first.
Yeah. And I was talking with somebody this weekend about the idea of like when something is triggering in your body, it's your body is talking to you. body talk. I love that. I love that idea of your body's talking. What does it say?
Are we willing to listen? Like, I think that through dieting and trying to control our bodies, we actually really disconnected ourselves from being able to hear anything our body is saying.
Absolutely. And so whether you're single, whether you are married, whether you don't date, I think everyone will be able to gain something from this awesome episode with Lily Womble, our intersectional feminist dating coach. If you are listening to this episode in August of 2023, and you are searching for a way to explore your body grief, or you are searching for tangible strategies to dig into body image exploration, and you are looking for a community and resources to shift your beliefs from body grief to body acceptance, and you are a body griefer or a body image provider, then I want to invite you to check out my brand new program, Bree's Body Image Vault. The vault is going to be a one-stop shop library of calls of my best body griever and provider resources to help shift your understanding from body grief to body acceptance. So if you have been waiting patiently to work with me in a deep and affordable way, I'm going to encourage you to run, not walk, to the link in my bio of this episode in the show notes. We hope that you join us inside of the vault. But if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello.bodyimagewithbree@gmail.com.
And without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Hi, and welcome back to the Body Griefers Club. Y'all, I am so pumped to have today's guest. Not only is she my colleague and friend, but I guess I'm also kind of her client because I bought her course. But today we're going to be talking about dating. Probably one of the biggest topics that I get asked about as a body image coach is, can we talk about dating? Can we talk about love? We talk about dating in a large body. So I'm going to bring in the experts. So I am so excited to introduce today's guest, Lily Womble. Lily is an intersectional feminist dating coach, and she is going to bring in today. Hi, Lily.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Brie.
Oh, my goodness. Your energy is just magnetic.
Stop it saying to you. Don't make me sing. Don't make me sing.
I was just asked, do you have like a theater background at all?
Oh my God. Yeah. Nail me. Nail me. Yes. I moved to New York originally to pursue musical theater. Mm. And that was like about 10 years ago. And I had had a career in the feminist nonprofit advocacy space, but I burnt out of nonprofit life. Mm-hmm. And I had always had this like dual side of me that was like, I want to be on Broadway, but I sort of gave up on that dream. And then when I was an adult, full-ass adult, after my first like phase of my career, I was like, why don't I just move to New York with no training and no friends and no money and get a billion side hustles and start going to class and start auditioning. And my first audition ever was for a Broadway show, Bright Star. And I stood in line as a non-union theater person for 5 hours. And then sang my little 16 bars. It was it was such an intense time in my life. And then I decided to move on to pursue other things that gave me joy as well, which then eventually led to Date Brazen.
I love that. I actually think for both of us with social media platforms, it kind of is like my own way to have like, you know, like my theater side come out. Not only when like making content, and we were just talking about this, of like my best content is the one that's not planned, like I'm not forced to make. Well, there are ideas that come to me. I'm like, that's those creative juices flowing.
Yes. I even think of my group coaching calls as performance in a way, not performative in a way that is not authentic. It's deeply authentic to me is how I stand on stage and talk. And my desire, there was this really incredible moment when I went to Gilmore Girls Fan Festival, which is one of my obsessions. We were doing karaoke and I have an amazing voice. And I was singing like, and I will always love you. And a woman came up to me afterwards and was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to do karaoke, Lily, but I've been too shy. Would you mind coming up on stage with me? I can do karaoke for the first time. And I was like, it would be my complete honor.
Mm-hmm.
We stood on stage and then it was like, we were singing Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen. And she got the courage, like a verse in, to just stand in the middle of that stage and belt it out. And so much so that I totally stood back and like took a step and just sang harmony with her on the choruses.
Wow.
And that is an analogy for like why I love being a coach, which is like I get to use my superpower of performance and calling, inviting people into their own courage to help them ignite their freedom. You know,
I couldn't agree more. And I really just love the humility in your amazing voice. It's so funny, too, because like, I feel like even like years ago, I would have been like, well, I don't really sing. And then it's like, yeah, you do. But now I like to sing. It's something I'm good at. And thank you for acknowledging them. And I think actually it really comes with a little bit of self-efficacy and like that self-esteem piece, which we're going to get into. If you're new to the podcast, you know, like these are just like some quick, bite-sized, like down to the bone episodes just to really get you exposed to different topics that usually come up around body image. And so if I had a dollar for every time that somebody said, you know, body image and dating are intersected and it's hard, I could retire. I would have enough money to retire. And so tell us a little bit about how does body image and dating come up with your clients?
Oh my God. Well, there's no talking about dating without also acknowledging how we feel and what we believe about our bodies and how we experience body image or our own body image. And I will also say I am not an expert in specifically helping people through their body grief. You are, and other experts are. And so we talk about it in my programs by acknowledging the complexity of how we show up and where there's grief in the room. I mean, it's very similar in my work to what I understand your work to be, in that my work specifically as an intersectional feminist dating coach is looking at how have we been socialized to believe about ourselves and what we are worthy of and what is possible for us, especially in our love lives. Because I see our love life as intersectional with our well-being. That, you know, I hear a lot of people before they work with me say things like, I used to think of my dating life as this frivolous thing that I just couldn't figure out on my own. So I put it to the back burner because I'm whole anyway, which is very true. The desire is still on the burner. The desire on the burner. And so as a feminist, I believe that we get to embrace our complex desires and still have complex feelings about how we're showing up in the world and how the world has treated us for many different reasons, being our gender identity, our racial identity, our sexual orientation, our body size, like all of these things are intersectional. And we've got to also do a both and of like, and I still want to find love. So how am I going to hold those two things and then move forward with agency? Instead of outsourcing my agency to an expert, a matchmaker, a whatever.
Okay, I'm feeling attacked personally, but let me explain. I'd say there's like three camps of people. So there are maybe four. So let's say somebody is in a committed relationship and they are coming to their body image exploration, excavation. And there's two people. There's either people who are with partners who love them and they cannot fathom like why their partner loves them because of their body. Mm. Or you have people who are with partners who still have their unlearned anti-fat bias that's coming up in their relationship. That's another episode. I'm going to put that on the back burner for now. We're going to come back to that. I'm going to speak to the single folks here.
Let's do it.
There are two types of camps that I think that people fall into. There is the I'm not worthy of love. Like this, it feels hard to accept that I'm worthy of love. And then you have people of like, I just want love to come to me. I don't want to have to do any of the work.
Yeah.
That's the camp I'm in. Like, I'm just like, Lily, why can't you just be my matchmaker and find me somebody?
Yeah. Here's my question. What are you afraid of happening?
Yeah.
And I can think of many things that are traumatizing in one's dating life that they might be afraid of happening. I just wonder for you, what are you nervous about?
I know exactly what it is. And it's like, I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Yeah.
So like, even like when it comes to like crafting, like I don't want to invest.
Oh yeah, we've talked about this before.
Right? Like I would, sometimes I'd rather just buy it because I'm like, and that comes with a lot of privilege. I'm like, why am I going to spend the time to make this thing that might end up being really bad?
It's very similar to me in a business building, truly.
Interesting, similar.
That I started my business in the same year you started yours, 2018.
Get out of here.
And so it's been 5-6 years. Congratulations to us. We're doing it. So when I started my business, I would pay anybody any amount of money on my credit card. And that, again, having a limit that would hold what I wanted to buy money on is a privilege.
Yeah.
A credit limit. I would pay anybody any amount of money to tell me what I didn't know and to help me create a business. Now, some of that was I needed some life skills. I needed some coaching skills. I needed some practical, how do I build my email list skills? That makes sense, right? That sort of, I don't call that outsourcing. I think of that as like co-creation. Like I needed what some of those coaches were telling me. Now it got to a point in my business building journey where I was like, yes, I know how to do that skill. Yes, I do know how to do, I knew how to do the relevant skills that I needed to grow, but I was so afraid to fail. I was ready to put down $25,000 to a coach's mastermind for 6 months, $25,000 that I didn't have. Yeah. And I thought that must, her figuring it out for me must be the answer to having the kind of success that I want. And so what happened is I had a lot of serious conversations about, do I spend this money? I don't have this money. What's my relationship to money? You know, what's my relationship to myself here? And then it all comes back to my self-trust. Do I trust myself to pursue my desire and still be safe if I fall and fail? What, again, you talk about this with body image. What am I making those thoughts and feelings mean about me if it doesn't work out the way I want it to? And in that journey of business building, I came into a very imperfect and deep as hell level of self-trust and freedom. Again, imperfect experience of those things that then informed every other aspect of my life.
Sure.
So what this process that I guide people through, and you're in my program, so this is what we can do together. And it's been relatively recent that we've started that journey.
Yeah.
So I want to say that this is not about like tips and tricks to find the person. It's about how can I come into my deeper agency and freedom? Because if I'm not feeling that agency and freedom in my dating life, that is affecting my well-being.
Yeah.
And so this idea of like, I just want love to come to me. I want that for you too, both. And that doesn't mean that you have to outsource your agency to anybody else to allow that love into you.
A little bit about how Lily and I met. I mean, I found you on TikTok, and just from a business perspective, I was like crushing it, like love a good business model. And you can be like, I know exactly what you do, what you stand for. Love it. So was already intrigued. And then this piece of like, I think there was something in your, I don't know if it's a formula, but you talk about co-conspirators in your love life. And so we'll put a pin in that. I want to come back to that.
Okay.
But I started like saving your posts, and I was like, okay, like who are the co-conspirators? And like, so I've done that, right? Like I've done that piece of like, all right, who could potentially set me up with? And the thing I get all the time is like, Bree, there's nobody good enough that we would set you up with. I'm like, well, great.
Yeah.
There's that. But that idea of, I think what I ended up buying your course because I had experienced grief in my life of a relationship that I didn't think I would lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it burned me in a way that I was like, this feels exactly like a breakup. So what am I even protecting myself from if I'm just going to get broken up with from non-romantic partners? Like, there's no protection in that. And so I think that's when I reached out to you and I was like, I'd like to do an intensive. Like, I was my own ideal client. That I was like, tell me where to check out. Like, let's go. Because I needed that fire under me. And I will say this too. And like, not to, you know, toot your course, but like, I am not a self-study kind of girl, and I have been excited to go through your self-study. I'm like, it's interactive and it's engaging. Like, it's fun. It gets lively. But then there is that piece, right? The agency of like me needing to do my part. That's the part I don't do well with.
Which part of your agency?
Like, do the workbook or, you know, if you're detoxing, detox from your online dating or don't, like, do it.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things kind of tussled inside of it. I think for those of us who have existed in fat bodies and didn't date casually or ever when we were younger, to now do it in my 30s, it feels very effortful.
Yes, I hear you.
So hard. And what I know is that we can do hard things, and I do hard things all fucking time.
Yeah. There's so many different facets of this. When I was a professional matchmaker, that's how I began my journey into the dating industry. And then I realized that with coaching, you could do a better job than anybody else could for you. Because you know yourself and your needs best. You are the expert of what you want and what you need. And I actually saw that reflected in the numbers of like what percentage of clientele actually found long-term sustaining like relationships from a matchmaking service, that actually the success rate of a matchmaking service when you look beneath the surface. Generally, this is not for every service. This is for some. And the, and I'm also talking about like larger services. There are more boutique, more, you know, a higher investment. I'm talking about like the people that work all around the country, the companies that work all around the country, they are using a metric of success to reflect how many people go on a second date, not necessarily a metric of do they end up in a relationship. And then as a matchmaker, I did work with women in larger bodies, and I am midsize. I remember the level of look you up and down that I received in my dating life as a mid-sized person, and the amount of shaming that can happen as a person in a larger body in a dating context is intense and abominable. So what do we do? Have this desire.
Tell us.
There's a fear that is grounded in experience.
Yep.
We're not going to say the fear isn't real or the experience isn't real. We're going to validate the shit out of it.
Okay.
Okay, so what tools am I using to so fiercely have my own back, both on a nervous system level? I have a module called Caring for Your Nervous System in the Brazen Breakthrough, which is my course, my program.
Which I'm just going to say right now really quick, is so fucking trauma-informed, because there are so many like innocuous things that people think. Like, people don't realize that dating can be trauma.
Oh my God, it is so filled with nuanced trauma.
Yeah.
And that's why most of my clients also see like an EMDR therapist outside of our work together, and why I also don't work with clients who aren't seeing a therapist right now.
Wow.
And why in the Caring for Your Nervous System module, I, for those who can't afford therapy, provide like a list of resources for therapy funds. Like, it is such an important thing to work with a licensed clinical professional in your dating life and with me, both and at the same time, because I think the work complements each other. But so what do you do? Caring for your nervous system in a dating context specifically, like, how can I create safety in my body as I feel my heart as shit feelings? It's been very similar to the how you describe your work.
That's
so aligned. Then after, you know, having the tools to practice self-compassion on a daily basis, feeling your feelings on a daily basis with emotional safety, then what boundaries are you going to set with people in your life, with dating apps, with dating resources, with people in person to have your own back and to say what you want out loud and often?
Wow. Wow.
So then like that fierceness for yourself, for your preferences, I think even letting your preferences take up space in your brain before you even start actively dating can be incredibly transformative. My essence-based preference process, which is like getting to your love life vocabulary, like you are specifically worthy of what you want. And I believe you're uniquely qualified for what you want.
I don't think essence-based preferences is like, I want someone who's tall.
But no.
For me, the biggest turn on for me is intellectual stimulation.
Yeah.
Like that is to me an essence-based preference.
So I'm going to encourage you, module one, lesson two, essence-based preferences, claim deeper preferences. And I have a podcast episode that is totally free at the Date Brazen podcast. It's episode 135. And it is how to create your essence-based preferences. And you can do that right now if you're listening. And it's asking yourself, it's interrogating your own preferences with a loving detective lens of like, what does that mean to me? What does that look like to me? What does that person value? What does a person who is intellectually stimulating care about, mm-hmm. do on the weekend? How do they talk about this topic? What do they read? This is not about a snapshot like rigidity. This is about an impressionist painting. How does it feel to be in their presence? How does it feel to be around them? So in that way, it's that both end of like nervous system care and practical strategy based in your desires, not based in arcane patriarchal rules like just put yourself out there, give it a try, go on a date because you never know. I think that that's bullshit. And I think that it's really important for people, especially those who have been marginalized, whether because of body size or, you know, race or gender expression, to give yourself the opportunity to like give yourself permission to want what you want. I think that can be a radical act in and of itself. And then on top of that, being in community and belonging with other people who are doing the work with you. I mean, it's the same as Body Groomers Club.
We're laughing because I just talked about this about body image.
I'm going to call you in. I want you to come to our group coaching session.
Well, you notice I haven't been coming. Because I haven't done the workbook. And so it's like that perfectionism in me is like, well, how can I come and show up to a call that I haven't done the workbook? But I also know that I probably haven't done the workbook because I'm like, I don't want anyone to tell me this.
To do the workbook, I listened to a coach's podcast earlier today. Will not name names. And I turned it off after 5 minutes because I was like, this is not my jam. Yeah. She was like, if I pay for something, I'm going to do exactly what that coach says and exactly the order. And I'm going to dedicate myself to doing exactly what they tell me to do to be the perfect student for them. And that is maybe how I would have been a couple of years ago. Now I know for myself and my clients that the way that you get the most success is by being the CEO of your work. And not being the student of me.
So now you're telling me that I need to be the CEO of my love life.
Yeah. Well, and if that context, if a work context in a capitalistic patriarchal culture doesn't serve you in the context of love life, you can think of it like I'm the shot caller, or I'm the queen, or I'm the co-creator of what I want. So how am I going to show up and co-create with this room of people, with myself, with my preferences, with Lily, co-create magic. So last group coaching, we have the monthly. It's so powerful, the questions that are coming up, and they are not directly related to the course material, like biological clock pressure we talked about. We talked about how to integrate casual sex into your dating life if that's something that you want and you're doing the dating app detox. And what rules are you following that you can shed that actually don't serve you in what you want? And everybody is different in the room. And like, it's such a nuanced conversation.
So it's good and so juicy. We are out of time and I want to honor your time. And I just want to end with like one of the things that you said to me in our intensive that's really stuck with me is about increasing my pleasure, especially in my dating life. And that seems like an oxymoron. But so we're specifically speaking to the camp of folks who this is not about worthiness. This is not about feeling worthy. This is about increasing pleasure. Any final thoughts for my body grievers and dating? And then tell us where we can find you and how we can work with you.
In terms of pleasure, starting small is really important, especially for my recovering perfectionist brain. When I would hear like, you need to increase your pleasure. You get to increase your pleasure in your dating life. I was like, you don't think I have enough to do in my day? Starting really, really small, knowing that everything builds on itself. Yesterday, I wrote down on my to-do list, lay down, not even a nap, like a step before a nap, you know, like what does it look like to bring in a little bit of pleasure, experience a little bit of pleasure in your day? And then what might that be like to one of my favorite ways to experience pleasure in preferences is to do a first date meditation, like to envision your best first date. And I even have a podcast episode that leads you through like a first date meditation. And it's episode 91 of the Date Brazen podcast, Envision Your Future Partner Meditation. So a bonus resource inside the Brazen Breakthrough, but I put it out there because I think everybody needs it to kind of get off on your own preferences. What I mean by that is sort of like get flirty, get some pussy tingles with what you want instead of living in the land of like, oh God, I haven't seen this or this doesn't exist. I ask you to like go through a body scan, releasing tension, suspend your disbelief for a moment and just imagine being on an incredible third date, noticing what they do and noticing what makes you both come alive and noticing what turns you on about that person and that specific context. And maybe there will also be grief in the room because you haven't experienced that yet. It can be a both and.
I love that.
You getting sort of excited about seeing that in your brain because you create things that didn't exist all the time. You co-create things that didn't exist all the time. So it's attuning your focus to how can I create more of this, this kind of pleasure, this kind of envisioning, this kind of belief in what I want.
And I'll just end with this in the grief perspective of like, even if what you want doesn't exist, it doesn't mean that what you can get, like my business is not at all what I thought it was going to be. And it is so much more. And so it's that permission. It's that exploration. I love it. It's magical. How can people find you, Lily?
I love people listening to the Date Brazen podcast. It makes me so, so, so happy. And so that is everywhere you get podcasts. We have over 135 episodes of the Date Brazen podcast. I also have this guide called The Guide to Make Dating Feel Like Self-Care, and it's totally free. It's on my website, datebrazen.com. It is a journaling workbook that'll take you through three cornerstones of how to integrate more self-care into your dating life, not bubble baths and sheet masks, but like the practice of self-compassion in a dating context, the practice of bragging in a dating context. So you can get on my email list that way. And I also am very much on TikTok, and you can find me at datebrazen. And you can find me at Date Brazen on Instagram as well.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Bree. Appreciate you.
Hi, friend. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Body Grievers Club. Like all of your other podcasting friends, we would ask that you like, share, subscribe, and give this episode to someone who you think needs to hear it.
We know that grief is tough, but we hope that this podcast helps you feel less alone. To learn more about body grief, check out our Instagram page at The Body Grievers Club.
And to learn how you can work with us today, be sure to check out the link in our show notes for the most up-to-date information. At the time of this recording, it is summer of 2023, we are preparing to launch our brand new program called the Body Image Vault. This program is going to contain jam-packed resources designed to help you expedite your understanding from how to move from body grief into body acceptance. So be sure to get on the wait list to get all of the details.
And remember, friends, no matter how big your body grief is, you're never alone when you're part of the Body Grievers Club.